Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Now back to the Nick Kale Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, welcome back in third and final hour here on a Saturday. Nick Kale Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app. Great to have you guys in here today as Iowa State leads Oregon 14-7, about 9 minutes to go until the half. Keep you updated on all those games, North Carolina, Texas A&M coming up tonight. But right now, we go out to the WadeFord.com hotline for our next guest, a man I haven't spoken to since our days at Bleacher Report back in the satellite radio days 5-6 years ago. The great Barrett Salee, college football writer for CBS Sports, is with us. Happy New Year, buddy. How you doing?
I'm good, Nick. Happy New Year to you as well. And yeah, it's been, college football doesn't stop. It seems like the conference championships were decided, it's been nonstop. And that continues, obviously, today with everything that's going on.
No doubt about it. I know you're a very busy man, so I appreciate these next couple of minutes. We'll get to the playoff and all the fallout from that. But the Sarkisian news is very intriguing. Texas moves on from Tom Herman. Steve Sarkisian will be the guy, it appears. Do you think, obviously they must think it, but do you believe he's a significant upgrade over Tom Herman?
Yeah, I think he is. And I wrote my story on CBSSports.com today, kind of compared the two. And really the resumes are, I wouldn't say, you know, close to each other, but there are positives and negatives if you compare both of them. I think the biggest thing for me, though, is the fact that Sarkisian understands how to complement offense with defense and has seen Alabama do it at an elite level, which I think if you're going through the Nick Saban rehabilitation program, you have to understand that. And I think that's what frustrates Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss. And that's why I think maybe some other coaches that went through that system have not been successful. So I think that Sark does know that. And you go back and look at his 2 years at USC, they led the Pac-12 in third down percentage. That's exactly what you need to have if you're going to have play complementary football in this day and age. You have to be able to win when it matters. And if you produce a potent offense, then you're golden. And that's exactly what I think Sark can do. I think he learned and saw that during his time in Tuscaloosa. Meanwhile, Tom Herman, you know, he's still relatively new at this, right? Like, he's 45 years old. You know, he had only 2 years of head coaching experience before he got that Texas job. And, you know, it was too much too soon. And I don't think that'll be the case with Sark at Texas.
One more follow-up on Sark, and then we'll get to the playoff. It feels like to me, I'm with you. I agree. I think it's a good decision. I thought Tom Herman underachieved a little bit, and he drove me nuts each and every week with a lot of decisions. But I feel like I can't sit here and definitively say that, you know, Sark's going to make Texas back and they're going to win national championships. But I do feel confident in saying there's going to be more of a competitive balance when it comes to winning Big 12 championships. I think Sark's the kind of guy that there will not be a six-game winning streak for Oklahoma in the Big 12 championship. I could see those two teams, Sark and Lincoln Riley, kind of going back and forth. Is that what you feel like? Maybe a 10-11 win type team getting to the playoff and certainly restoring order, at least in the Big 12?
Yeah, I think so, because you look at Sark's resume of what he's been able to do developing quarterbacks. That's what Lincoln Riley does best, and that's why Oklahoma has been so successful. So you look at what Sark has done, obviously, this year with Mac Jones, and then Tua last year, he worked with Jalen Hurts when Jalen was a true freshman. Now, statistically, he didn't have a great year that year, but they won. And as a true freshman starting at Alabama, that's a pretty big deal. And then you go back to his Washington days, Jake Locker and Keith Price were really good for that team. At USC, both as a head coach and as an assistant, he's had Carson Palmer, Matt Leiner, John David Booty, Mark Sanchez, a ton of guys. And even Cody Kessler was awesome in his year and a half at USC. So he develops quarterbacks. And that, I think offense really hasn't been the problem, but a dynamic quarterback has, because it just seemed like Sam Ellinger never was able to break through that glass ceiling. So if he can find and identify talent, clearly he can coach those guys up. And it's not just the starter, it's the entire quarterback room. I think what he's shown, both as an analyst in Alabama and as the offensive coordinator, is that he gets that entire room ready. And that's why you saw Mac Jones succeed, last year when he came in for Tua. That's why you saw Jalen Hurts come in and succeed midway through the second quarter of his first game against USC in 2016 as a true freshman. Sark has a lot to do with that.
Barrett Salee, CBS Sports, is joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app. So let's get to the playoff. A couple of questions from the fallout from those games. It feels like to me that, and I don't really take swipes at Notre Dame. I mean, I think they are what they are. I feel like Brian Kelly has done all he can do under the current setup of Notre Dame, and I don't know that Notre Dame can ever get over the hump unless they change their standards when it comes to admissions and recruiting. I feel like he's done all he can at Notre Dame. Do you think Notre Dame is ever willing to change their identity from as an institution for the sake of winning national championships?
No, absolutely not. They cherish that. They value it as a point of pride. And I don't get why something like that would be a hindrance. If they know that it's a hindrance, find a way to make it work. Find a way to try to have your cake and eat it too. And so, no, I don't think they're going to change that. Their academic standards are not going to move. They value that. And I think they value the fact that they're not a football factory. They appreciate and want to be a well-rounded university, and that includes the athletic department. I think a lot of these other schools, pretty much every other school, it's sort of athletics and academics, and the two don't really talk all that much. The Notre Dame's different in that regard. So, yeah, I don't think they'll change that philosophy. They shouldn't and won't change the independent thing, and really I think that's overplayed anyway. That's not, a huge deal. That's not preventing them from winning national championships. But, I think if they're going to compete with the big boys at a consistent level, and that they can't do that right now because they don't have that roster, then yeah, they might have to be a little bit more lenient in who they admit. But I don't think that's possible. I don't think they're willing to do that.
One of my favorite tweets that I see you put out each and every week on a College Football Saturday is in reference to the targeting rule. You're targeting. No, that's targeting. No, you're not targeting. It cracks me up every time. And we saw the Skalski hit last night. I mean, obviously, by the rule, textbook targeting. I don't like the ejection element to the targeting rule. Is that something they will ever consider amending moving forward?
Yeah, but it's slow. Everything the NCAA is slow. But I think 2 years ago when they instituted the rule where no matter what happens, targeting has to be confirmed via replay, which means basically you can call it, but you don't have to have the same standard of evidence, to overturn it. I think that was a step forward because there were so many, targeting calls that were incorrect. I think the next step would be something like a flagrant one, flagrant two, like you see in hoops, where if it's a targeting one, it's accidental. It's a 15-yard penalty because it still needs to be a penalty, but the player gets to stay in. The flagrant two, I think, would be something that absolutely would be helpful, where, look, if a dude goes headhunting, yeah, he deserves to be tossed. Like, I don't think there's any doubt about that. I don't know a single person who would ever argue that if a guy goes headhunting, he should be able to stay in a game. Like, that just doesn't make sense. So, I think they will tweak it at some point, but they're very reluctant, they being the NCAA Rules Committee, to really make any hasty decisions on that particular penalty because they feel like it is so important to the future of the game that they can't, they have to get it right. And in that regard, I think they're 100% correct. If they just start moving the target over and over again, then you're not going to be you're not going to accomplish what the rule is meant to accomplish. And they were a little too harsh when it was instituted. They've kind of made things a little bit easier, or at least prevented players from getting tossed unnecessarily. The next thing I think is to go back and value the severity of you know, each penalty. Because look, I know folks don't understand the target penalty. Like they really don't. It has nothing to do with helmet to helmet. It's forcible contact to the head, neck, and shoulders area. Doesn't have to be helmet to helmet. And Skalski's hit was 100% targeting. Yep. It was. But, you know, it was not on purpose. And that's the part that they need to change. They need to be able to judge intent.
Some final moments here with Barrett Salee, CBS Sports, joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. So Ohio State throttles Clemson last night. Did Ohio State play their national championship last night, or are they a legit threat to beat Alabama in 10 days?
Oh, they're absolutely a threat to beat Alabama in 10 days. I think the biggest thing for me was how good they were up front, specifically in the middle of that defensive line. Man, and their linebacking core as well. They were so fundamentally sound. And if you're Alabama, you're looking at that saying, uh-oh, Landon Dickerson's not there. That's going to be a problem. Because if you can get a few stops against Alabama, if you're Ohio State, I think you have confidence that you can put up 40 points. You can play Alabama-style football. Like, that's what Ohio State wants to do, and that's what they can do, and that's what they have done. So I think Alabama has to look at that and say, all right, well, how do you stop that defensive front? Because they've got some monsters up front. So, they're a threat. There's no doubt about it. They've got, I think, the better quarterback in the game. They've got, I think, personnel, at least in terms of pure athleticism, that really do compare to what Alabama has. So, it's a threat. It's not going to be a pushover. It's not going to be a blowout. I think Ohio State, you can argue about what their merits were to get into the playoff, but I think what we've seen throughout the course of the year is that, you know, they are a team that searched for its identity, and through six games, it's hard to find that. But in the seventh, they beat one of the best teams in college football this decade, and that matters.
Last one for you. We got to get to the Dogs. They knocked off Cincinnati, who was undefeated yesterday, going into the Peach Bowl. Going into this year, I picked Florida to win the East because I liked Kyle Trask better than I liked any quarterback for the Georgia Bulldogs. Moving forward in 2021, I think the Dogs win the East, assuming JT Daniels is back. I love what the offense can be. Are you buying in on early for Georgia for 2021?
Yeah, Florida missed its window. Georgia opened that window, obviously, with what happened for their first, you know, two-thirds of the season with its offense. And Florida, to a point, walked through. And then the arrogance of Dan Mullen took over, and, you know, lack of roster depth took over, and it became a problem. But the window is going to be closed because, you know, Georgia figured out its offense. All of their running backs can and probably will come back. They've got George Pickens for another year. And, yeah, they got to fill some holes defensively. But what do we know about college football in this day and age? It's better to have a dynamic offense than a dynamic defense. And so the roles were reversed on Georgia this year. That was the problem. I think this year, or the coming year in 2021, they'll be back to what championship-level teams have to be able to do. And so, yeah, I'm 100% with you. Subject to change, obviously, because it is only January 2nd. But, yeah, I think right now Florida missed its window. And Georgia, you know, even though it was a disappointing year, the end of the season set them up for some pretty good success next year.
Barrett Salee, college football writer, CBS Sports. Great to catch up with you, man. Happy New Year. Thank you.
You too, Nick. Happy New Year.
You got it. Barrett Salee joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline on the Nick Cale Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and the Radio.com app. We will come back and look ahead to tonight's Hawks matchup as the boys get ready to run with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Can they slow down Larry Nance, Brad Doherty, Mark Price, Craig Elo? Oh, no, that's not the Cavaliers. That means LeBron James. Who do the Cavaliers? Oh, yeah, Andre Drummond. Kind of like the Hawks tonight, boys. We'll come back, talk about that, as well as Week 17 as we play out the string with the Falcons as they take on Tom Brady and those Buccaneers. Stay there. We're back after this.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.